Amen, amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, musicians. Tell you what, go ahead and be seated just before I don't intend to take a long time tonight. I do have a message. But before we do, is there anybody that has something that you just got to say for Jesus? Anybody want to testify?
I just want to thank God for being so good to me and using me to bring souls into the kingdom. And I especially want to thank Him for bringing Karen into the kingdom. What a blessing that is. And she's going to grow in the knowledge as we all disciple her. Amen. I'm excited.
Praise the Lord.
I'm excited.
Awesome stuff.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I don't keep track of all the days, but I am 1 year sober and clean.
Praise the Lord. I don't do this all the time, you know. It's kind of rare.
I want to thank the Lord for all of His mysterious ways that He does things. It's just amazing to me. First thing that really came to my mind was Sister Erin. Here we were having a tent meeting out there, and she just wandered up. I remember her wandering up to see what's going on, and she said, "I've been looking for a church," and it's like, "Oh, this is amazing." And I mean, just recently, when after our ladies' fellowship, and I had kind of challenged the ladies to pass these little package gifts to somebody that you don't know. And the next day, there was that man with his bike sitting out in the open. It wasn't some scary place. It was right out in the open that I could. And I passed him in the car. And I said, "Oh, there's somebody," but I couldn't swerve quick enough. And I said, "Well, I'll go to the bank, and if he's still there when I get back, I'll stop and talk with him." And he was still there. And what was really amazing, I don't think I mentioned it the last time, was that when he saw, you know, I stopped the car a distance. I didn't come straight up on him. I gave a little bit of a distance, and I started walking up to him. And when I got to him, he says, "You know, that was very courageous of you to come up to somebody that you didn't know." Yeah, I guess it was. And then he started mentioning things about how God loves mercy and loves compassion. The things that we were talking about the night before, he started saying those things. And he says, "I've chosen to live this way." And he says, "I do go and I spread the gospel too." And I go, I wasn't quite sure about that one or not, but it was just a very unique opportunity to talk to somebody that I really didn't know. And what I told you on Sunday too, the man that stopped me in my driveway to say, "I love your Jesus sign." How does God do those things? He's talking, He uses all the little things to do great things in people's lives. And we just are walking miracles every day. And I'm just so thankful. We got to get that in our mind. There's miracles all around us. And what more He wants to do in 2025 if we believe in Him. I'm excited to see what God's going to do.
Shall we praise the Lord? I'm so glad that I'm here tonight because I was so sick last week. I go to work today, I feel weak. And yes, still I say, I got to let 2025 find me in the house of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
God has been my strength. He has been my rock. He has been my shield. He has been my father. Hey, ho, Messiah. He has been my financial controller. There are times when I don't know how I make it, but God is always there for me, waiting patiently in line. God is my rock. He is my deliverer. Tonight I just want to praise Him. I just want to magnify Him. I just want to love Him. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Didn't know a 10-year-old boy could scare so many people. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Well, let me just, before I get into my message, God is doing something very, very special in our church. Amen. He really, really is. And if you're just on the fringes or you're not really noticing it, but if you'll open your eyes, you'll see that God is, He does great things in our church. Amen. There's people in our church that have been healed in their body. Cancer has been put out. Amen. Ears have been opened. Broken bones have been mended. I mean, people in wheelchairs have started walking. And, you know, just, I mean, I'm talking about things that you read about in the Bible. You know, think miracles that are recorded in the Word of God happen in our church. Amen. That's not a small thing. It's God that gets all the credit, all the glory, all the thanks, all the praise, all the time. Amen. It's never the preacher or the person or the, definitely not the pastor. I can't do any of that stuff. But my God can. Jesus can. Amen. I have a habit of pulling on the pulpit and it pulls the top off now. But God is doing a very, very special thing. Amen. I want to say that to continue to grow, we got to continue in God's plan. Amen. Therefore, you know, I've asked, you know, I had people raise their hand. It was a planned ask. Raise your hand if you're a member of our church. Okay, you're the ones I'm talking to. Okay. If you raise your hand and this is your church, then God wants to do something special in you that He would receive the glory. That God would receive all the credit. Don't take the credit when God does a miracle in your life. You know, God gets all the miracle credit. Okay. And when God does something spectacular in your life, give God the glory. Tell somebody how good God is. God healed my body. God touched my life. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in Jesus' name. God brought my son back. God healed my baby. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. God put my family in a special place. God preserved me. God kept me. Whatever it is, give God the glory for it. Amen. God is doing special things. I think it was a wonderful thing. Brother Hart was here on Sunday, and he was congratulating our young people for Move the Mission and the record offering. It was a record for our church, that's for sure. What was our 8,000 something? But it was the, and I didn't know that until he had mentioned it, but our church gave the highest Move the Mission offering in our district, in the Connecticut district. I mean, we're not doing it to be first place, okay? We just asked, give what you can, and encouraged our young people. In fact, I encouraged our people to give through our young people so that they could get credit towards their goal of becoming, of reaching $1,000 in fundraising so that they could be a real McCoy. Yeah, so what is the name of that thing? Real McCoy. Somebody here knows it. We even got one that is too young to be, you know, 12 years old, but I'm telling you, he's a real McCoy. He's the real thing. Man, I must have saw him ask 40 people to pray. He carried that paper. It was glued to his hand wherever he was walking. Man, he was... Tell you, he's a real deal right there, right? He was committed. Amen. I think James got up to $600. Yeah? Got what when you're eight? 700 when he was 8 years old. Praise the Lord. I mean, God bless our kids. Amen. And I've got kids in my sermon for tonight, my text or my teaching. Giving is a part of our walk with God. You will never see the fulfillment of God's plan in your life if you rob God. Honor God with your substance and with your time and with your commitment and with your prayers and with your life. And God will bless your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is great. Amen. And greatly to be praised. Amen. Go ahead and shout right now. Praise the Lord. I do want to encourage our church. I do feel like we are headed in the right direction. And the direction that you're headed is very, very important. Are you headed in the right direction or the wrong direction? You got to figure that out on your own. Because God wants to direct you toward Him. Amen. God wants to use you in this body, in this church. God wants to use you. And I'm talking to every single person in here. God wants to use you in 2025. Amen. We're going in the right direction because we're going to continue to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. We're going to continue to preach that Jesus Christ is the only living God. There is no other God beside Him. He's the only one that has ever been. There has never been another God. Ever. He's the only one. We're going to continue preaching that you got to repent of your sins. That you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the only way in Scripture that anybody has ever been baptized is in the name of Jesus Christ. And you got to live a holy life. Amen. God has called us to separate ourselves unto Him. Called us to be His people, to be His bride, who hath prepared herself. Amen. We got to prepare ourselves. Jesus is coming, my friend. You need the Holy Ghost. We're going to continue preaching that you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's God's Word. It's His plan. Amen. We're going to continue preaching that. We're going in the right direction. Amen. And our elements classes, if you've never been through all four of our elements sessions, then I encourage you to find yourself in an elements class. Amen. In our elements classes, we are going to emphasize our biblical doctrine. Why we live the way we live. Why we do the things we do. Amen. How to live a Christian life. Amen. So it shouldn't be that you're going to a church for 6 months or a year or 2 years or 3 years and you don't even know what their doctrine is. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Amen. To be a part of the body of Christ, we want everyone to know what the Bible says about being saved, about living for God, about being a part of His kingdom. Amen. So that's the direction that our church is going in. We want to share the knowledge of who Jesus is and why we believe what we believe, showing in scriptures and sharing with one another in our classes and doing those things together as a body. Amen. It's God's will for us to study the Word of God. It's God's will for us to do Bible studies. You're going to be hearing more about Bible studies in the new year. Amen. I'd like to advocate for everybody to be involved in a Bible study. I should be involved in Bible study. Amen. If you're not a student, then be a teacher. Amen. But we all have a space to study the Word of God. Amen. To prove ourselves. Amen. And you don't have to do it all by yourself. We have study guides and helps and teacher materials. And, you know, we could do Bible studies. There's my wife online. If you are interested in having or teaching or being a part of a Bible study, then just let me know. I'll help you. Either find a student or find a teacher. Either one. Amen. But I'm going to be advocating for people to be involved in Bible studies. Amen. This isn't even really a part of my notes, but our worship will influence your faith in God. Amen. It does something for you. It lifts your spirit up to the place that you are able to receive what God has for you. Amen. Your worship in God doesn't make the preaching any more true. But you're ready to receive the preaching when you have been worshiping. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? Yeah. When you are worshiping God and you are pouring yourself out to God, guess what? God's getting ready to pour something into you. Amen. It's reciprocal. Amen. I receive from God when I give to God my praise, my worship, my love. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm encouraged. I want for God. We're going in the right direction. Amen. As a pastor, that just makes me smile. I believe that we have had 21 people baptized in Jesus' name this year. Praise the Lord. That's not the 3,000 a day like I see in the Bible, but praise the Lord. I'm thankful for what God is doing. It's something very, very special. Amen. It is right that we should see people being born again, receiving the truth of His knowledge, being baptized in Jesus' name, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, people receiving from God miracles in their life, being delivered. Amen. That's God's will. It's God's plan. That's the body of Christ, the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And not every church on every corner can say all those things that I just said. Praise the Lord. But that's what it's like in this church. Amen. It's a very special place. Why don't you love God with me for just a moment? Are you thankful for what God is doing? Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done already. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for the greatness of the glory of your name, for the truth of the name of Jesus Christ, for the truth of the preaching of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for people, God, that you've drawn into your house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2 is where I'm going to turn. Let me begin. Luke chapter 2. Would you stand with me just for the reading of, well, I've got several verses, but not too many. Luke 2, beginning to read at verse number 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, someone say 12 years old. He was 12 years old when they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child, Jesus, tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought, supposing him to have been in the company. Oh, wait, I messed up the reading there. Went a day's journey and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, someone say 3 days. 3 days. Could you imagine? Just put yourself in that position for a moment if you're a parent. Whew, man. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. My topic this evening, for just a little while, we're going to close at midnight. At midnight, we're going to be up here worshiping God. But for right now, I want to speak on this thought. A great decision. A great decision. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, I pray your hand, God, to be upon us. God, give me anointing. Put words in my mouth. Open our understanding. God, let your will be accomplished here in this service. Lord, in all that is done, Lord, in this house tonight, God, in this place, let your will be done, Lord. Lord, I pray your anointing upon each of us. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Much of our world is out celebrating tonight. There's lots of people that are making resolutions. They have good intentions. In fact, it is fun to play with the possibilities the first week of January. Go jogging in the morning. Say that you've done it all year. Go through lunch without a candy bar. Whole new you. So far this year, I haven't yelled at the kids. I haven't lost my temper. Haven't thrown my dirty laundry on the floor. Haven't forgot to read my Bible or to pray. At midnight, you're going to be praying. Man, I've been doing it all year. During the first week of January, your whole life can be transformed. And not from a resolution, but by a decision. Amen. According to many, it's a great time for New Year's resolutions. I'm not so much. In fact, on the radio today in the car with my wife, we heard that younger people are easy or eager to make resolutions. Older people, not so much. I don't even like resolutions anymore. But I do like to make good decisions. Amen. I do like to make positive choices. Amen. Praise the Lord. For one day, perhaps one weekend, maybe a whole week, all your good intentions can be jump-started. All your bad habits, unplugged. The problem for many in our world is that January has 31 days. What are you going to do on the 2nd, or the 3rd, or the 5th, or the 10th? What are you going to do by the end of the month? No, I'm not talking about a resolution. I'm talking about a decision. We got to decide to live for Jesus Christ. It's not a resolution. It's a decision. Amen. In fact, in our world, most resolutions get packed up and put away with the Christmas decorations. If you ride by my house, that big Jesus lights, they're going to be on all January. You come by the end of the month in January, Jesus still be lit up in my yard. At least that's my intention. I've did that ever since we made that sign. It has influenced some. We've had good responses from many. But I want to make good decisions. Amen. I want to choose to do the right thing for the right reason. Amen. Not because somebody else is telling me to. Not because somebody's making me do it. No, nobody's making me live for God. You're going to live for God because you want to, or you're not going to live for God. That's just the honest truth. You got to decide for yourself to live this life for Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps the resolutions that are made in our world are often very shallow in nature. Only cosmetic changes that don't really change your mindset. I've come tonight with a suggestion that we learn from Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. That 12-year-old boy, we can learn a lot from our young people. Amen. Our young people in 2024 have showed this church much. Amen. They've showed us by their actions that God can use them, that God did use them in a very, very special way. Amen. Jesus, when he was 12 years old, he came to a place in his life when something dramatic, someone say dramatic, something dramatic changed. And he made a great decision. That day in the temple, Jesus offered us a glimpse of what is missing in most of our lives. Some people make resolutions, but he made the greatest of all decisions. I must be about my Father's business. Now, Joseph was a carpenter, and he wasn't making tables. He was about his heavenly Father's business. Amen. 2024, truly, in my understanding, was a very good year. God healed my body. I recovered from heart failure. God made me new. The doctors gave me all these tests, and God healed my body, and God proved it to them by those tests that God is a healer. Amen. But it's more than just an individual healing in my body. God did something very special in our church. Amen. Now, yes, there's ups and downs. We still live in the flesh. We still live in a body. We still have things that we got to do. And life is still busy. But overall, when the dust is settled, we are still in the family of God. We are still preaching the truth. We are still having new converts come to the house of God. We are still seeing people that will believe in Him. We are still seeing miracles by His hand. We are still receiving the good things from God. It's been a great year. But I want to talk very plainly, very deliberately with us tonight, this evening. When our church was smaller, and I was thinking, you know, Bank Street, New London, you know, 8 people, 20 people, 30 people, 10 people. You know, our attendance did this. It goes up and goes down. But when you're very small, you know, it was really tough having, you know, my family and 3 or 4, maybe 5 other saints filled with the Holy Ghost and having 40 people in church and the rest of them don't know anything about Apostolic Jesus' Name, Living for God. They don't know anything about holy living or being filled with the Holy Ghost or being baptized in Jesus' name. That was a pretty tough crowd. Having a tent meeting with those same handful of believers and, you know, 100 people, that's tough. Preaching when the drunks are in the aisle. Interrupting the service. But, you know, it was all good. It was tough, but it was good. Amen. I'm telling you, back then, there was a time that our church went over 2 years with somebody receiving the Holy Ghost or being baptized every single week. I'm talking 52 weeks a year. Something happening every single week, consistently, week after week after week, in a little tiny storefront church. I'm telling you, it's, you know, I don't even mention that very often. But it was a miracle from God. I was there. I know how good God is. Amen. Right? Anybody remember the storefront? Say amen. Amen. It was some wild stuff.
Yes, it was.
It was some wild, wild west stuff. Woo! Woo! Few of the people I had to throw out. But hey, you know, that was right too. Amen. It just had to be done. But now, God has given us a church building. You know, He's given us people that sit in the pew. Amen. God's given us worshipers. Amen. God's given us givers. God's given us praying warriors. God's given us all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you, my God is good. My God is good. Amen. But when we endeavor to become saints, we are to share. Now, this is the ministry of becoming a saint, okay? We are to share in the ministry of the church. It's the plan of God. It's not supposed to be that the same six people are doing everything in the church of 80 as when it was 8. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be that people get convicted. They feel the presence of God. They repent. They get baptized. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. They learn in the Holy Scriptures what the Word of God says. And they become believers in the Word of God. And then they become partakers in the household of God. Amen. That is the plan and the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are the United Pentecostal Church in New London County. Amen. We watch these Christmas for Christ videos. God has done those things in our church. Amen. And God wants to do those things in our church. Amen. Man, I'm this guy that, you know, is saying that his church is sending out other churches and they're building other facilities and they're helping other new plants get started and a part of helping them get buildings and churches. And I believe God can do that right here. Amen. A spider was on my... Get away. Get out of here. He's a dead spider. That's what poof, I just flicked him. Don't worry. That one's not going to do anything to you. Praise the Lord. It's God's will for us to grow in Him. Amen. That's why we're going in the right direction. That's why we have prayer meetings. Amen. It's God's will that we pray. It's God's will that we have elements classes, that we learn about the doctrine that we're teaching, about the faith of our fellowship, amen, about how to live for God, how to be successful in your walk with the Lord. Amen. That's God's will. Jesus sent his disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. It is the saints, the believers in Jesus Christ at Apostolic Lighthouse, United Pentecostal Church, that are sent to New London County, Connecticut, amen, and parts of Rhode Island. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's God's will. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. I'm telling you, there's people in our church that have had miracles, bona fide, certifiable, actual, literal miracles done by God in their lives here in this church. Amen. God didn't charge you anything for that miracle. You received a miracle. I hope you'll pray for someone and believe God for a miracle. Amen. Amen. When you pray for their hearing, that their ears become unstopped, that they can hear, that eyes would be opened that were blind, that wounds would be healed. That I've seen many, many miracles in my life. With my own eyes. I'm not just talking about reading it in the Word. I'm not just talking about looking at it in a book, in somebody's minister, in some missionary account, or seeing it on a video or on TV. I'm talking about firsthand, first person, with my own eyes, miracles that I have seen in my life. Therefore, I believe in miracles. Amen. You should too. A lot of you have seen them too. You were sitting right here in the pew when it happened. His challenge was to become a conduit of his grace and of his power. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. Though Jesus had a core group, he centered on developing that core group. He had a public ministry to the masses. He blessed many. He fed thousands. Now, not all of them stayed in the church. The ministry that God wants this church to have is to every person in our community. Amen. God wants to be a blessing to everyone that comes into this church. Amen. And then it's up to that person if they want to serve God. Oh, man. I don't know that I can clearly convey what I'm feeling. But it's God's will for this church to influence, to be a blessing in our community. I'm constrained by the condition of our city, of New London County, and even that in Connecticut. But I believe this church will be an influence in each of them. Amen. We will make a difference in New London County. We will make a difference in the United Pentecostal Church in the Connecticut District. Amen. This church, by the hand of God, will be a blessing. Amen. I've heard it from pastors and from my elders and from those precious men of faith that I hold so dear, from many seminars that I've been to, and they tell me that your thinking must change to grow. I can't hold on to everything. I can't do all of the preaching, Brother Dyke. I can't do all of the teaching, saint of God. I can't hold on to every little facet in every family's life and grow. I got to have believers that will step up in faith and walk with me in this effort that we as the body of Christ would grow. Amen. But I also want to be transparent with you tonight. There's just a few more minutes. I got to tell you that as a church grows, the overall quality of commitment often, not always, but often drops off. Oh, somebody else will do that. Oh, somebody else has already got that covered. Somebody else is already doing that ministry. Oh, they don't need me. If you are hearing a voice that's saying, oh, the church don't need you, that's Satan. That's Antichrist. The body of Christ does need you. This church needs you to have a commitment with God. Your prayers make a big difference. Your actions influence people. We have to keep this in balance. You know, I can have a wife and kids and grandkids and a job and still serve God. But when I put God first, when He becomes the most important thing, then God blesses my relationships with my wife and my kids and my grandkids. God blesses me on my job. God helps me in my church. God does things that I cannot do on my own. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God knows that you have need of things. But pray and seek His face and find His ways and do His will, and you will be blessed. Amen. In 2025, if we will focus on finding the will and the purpose of God in our life, then 2025 will be a blessing. Amen. At 12 years old, Jesus had gotten caught up with talking with those elders, those teachers in the temple. Joseph and Mary, they were with all the relatives. I can relate. You know, sometimes I'll tell you, there was one time we left one of our kids sleeping on the pew at church. And we had two cards. My wife thought I had the kid, and I thought she had him. She thought I had him, and we left church, and there was a kid sleeping in the pew. The usher was walking through, turning out the lights. I could see Brother Andre turning out the lights in the church, and, hey, there's a kid sleeping on the pew. And that was before cell phones. He had to wait for us to get home so we could call our landline and us get home. And Jeanette, you don't have Nathan? All right, hold on. I'll be right back. Life is busy. Sometimes you mess things up. But you know what? Go back and get your kid. Go back and do that thing that you need to do. I've got other notes here, but we've got 10 minutes. My point is clear. Jesus chose to do his Father's business. If we, as individuals, me as a man, if I will choose to do what God wants me to do, then my life will be blessed. I'll be a blessing to my wife. I'll be a blessing to my children. I'll be a blessing to my grandchildren. I'll be a blessing to my church. Amen. I'm telling you, this is the will of God. Amen. The world is going to want to put pressure on you that, oh, well, I can't make it to service. Oh, I just can't come to all the church services. It's your choice. It's your choice if you want God's blessing on your life. You want the world's? You want what the world has to offer? Work all the overtime and spend your money down the pit of wherever Satan wants you to throw your money away at. I'm telling you, your kids need to know about Jesus Christ. They're going to find that here at Apostolic Lighthouse. Your kids need to be in church. Amen. You need to be in church. Amen. We've got a, Brother Dyke, you got a countdown thing on your iPad, right, for midnight? Okay. Can you get a midnight countdowner thing or bobber to show on the screen? I got my own language. My wife's chuckling, but she knows what I was. She understands me. Stand with me. Musicians, come. In 2025, pray, seek his face, do his will, and God will bless your life. This is not a maybe or might or sometimes. This is 100% guaranteed by the Word of God. God cannot lie. if you will do this thing, God will bless your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on up front. Come on around here. We got a few 6 minutes and 39 seconds. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to magnify God. Amen. We're going to bring in 2020. We're going to go out of 2024 praising the Lord. Come midnight, I hope your hands are up and your mouth is open and you're worshiping God. Let's bring out the old year of 2024 like we should, and that's giving God praise and worshiping Him. And like manner, bringing in the new year like we should, praising God and magnifying Him and giving God glory. He's worthy. Let's love Him. Worship God.
Fall on me, anointing. Fall on me, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
Dying, he saved me. Oh, bury me, carry mine.
forever. Oh, one day he's coming back. Glorious day. Oh, one day he's coming back. Glorious day. Oh, one day when heaven was filled with his praises. Oh, one day when sin was too black as could be. That's when Jesus came down to be born of a virgin. Oh, 12th among men, our example is he. Oh, living he loved me. Dying he saved me. Oh, buried he kept my hands far away. Oh, rising he justified. Oh, free me forever. One day he's coming back. Glorious day. Oh, living he loved me. Dying he saved me. Oh, and buried he carried my sins far away. Oh, rising he justified. Free me forever. Oh, one day he's coming back. Glorious day. Oh, then one day they led him up Calvary's mountain. Then one day they nailed him to die on the tree. Oh, suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Oh, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Oh, living he loved. Oh, dying he saved me. Yes, carrying he carried my sins far away. Oh, rising he justified. Forever, oh, one day he's coming back. Glorious day. Oh, one day the grave could conceal him no longer. That day when the stone rolled away from the door. Then Jesus came forth over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, our Lord evermore. He carried my hands far away. That's when rising he justified. Bring me forever. One day he's coming back. Glorious day. Come on.